Over the past 15 years, there have been many efforts to regulate the tobacco industry, so it may not come as a surprise that there's a bill before Congress that would subject cigarette makers to regulation by the Food and Drug Administration. But unlike in the past, there is reason to believe that this one may actually become law. Joining me now to explain why public health officials are so hopeful is Washington Post reporter Lindsay Layton. I'm very pleased to welcome her to today's second underreported segment. Hello.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
I'm okay. Who regulates tobacco now?
Well, by and large, nobody. Tobacco is probably the most unregulated major consumer product that we have. One out of every five adults use it, and yet there's no single agency that's responsible for overseeing its marketing and the contents that go into a cigarette, and it's largely unregulated.
Less than alcohol?
That's right.
But it's regulated by the same Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. It always struck me as odd that there was that mix. That's really an enforcement agency, isn't it?
Yes, and I really think that you know, they're looking for black market activity, illicit trafficking in tobacco, and they're not really an agency set up to regulate it in terms of its health effects or in terms of the way it's marketed and sold. And so the sponsors of this legislation believe that function belongs under the FDA, and so that's what this bill would do.
Well, it's interesting that tobacco is a known carcinogen, and I can't imagine any other known carcinogen having virtually no oversight.
Well, the tobacco lobby is really strong in this country, or it has been historically. You know, they are huge campaign contributors. They've got a lot of muscle on Capitol Hill, and they've been able to fend off regulation for a very long time. But that is running out, and the political landscape surrounding tobacco really has changed markedly in the last decade. And I think, I think the best sign of that is the fact that Philip Morris or Altria, that's the corporate name for Philip Morris, which is the maker of the biggest cigarette brand on the market, Marlboro, they are supporting this bill. So that's a sign of real change.
And why do you think they are? Is it because they have been losing court cases and they decided to that regulation might actually protect them?
Well, that's one theory, certainly. And, you know, the sense is that that argument goes that if the FDA regulates tobacco, then juries would no longer feel a need to send a message to this industry. You know, they would feel that the government has some oversight of the product, and so the tobacco company, you know, believes that might help them in terms of reducing some of these large jury awards that they've been socked with. But really, I think also in terms of Philip Morris, its long-term vision for itself, it's trying to get some kind of social acceptance or regain social acceptance. During the 90s, when the tobacco companies were under siege in Washington, you know, I don't know if you recall that very famous hearing when the heads of the seven tobacco companies were on Capitol Hill testifying that they had no idea that nicotine was addictive. And then it turned out the investigators were able to unearth all this evidence that, in fact, the companies did know the extent of the addiction and that they had been lying to the public. That really hurt the tobacco companies in a big way in terms of public standing and public opinion. And I think Philip Morris has been trying ever since then to rebuild its image and try to become more accepted and get back into the graces of the public. And they see this as one avenue to do that.
Well, Philip Morris has been a strong supporter of the arts. But in recent years, a lot of arts organizations have refused to take money from them.
Right. So that's part and parcel of this. If they can rebuild their image, and in fact, there's some fascinating internal documents that the from that company that are accessible because they're online during the settlement. You know, there was this. There were 46 attorneys general from around the country that sued the tobacco companies, and they created this master settlement agreement. And that's really most of the government control of tobacco really stems from that agreement currently. Whatever we have, whatever restrictions on advertising we've got now, comes from that agreement. And as part of that agreement, they got a lot of internal documents from these companies. And you can read through it, and you can see that Philip Morris, the executives, were wringing their hands trying to figure out a way to improve their public imagery. So, excuse me, there's a kerfuffle in our newsroom.
Yeah.
You
never know who's going to be saying what while you're on the air in a newsroom.
Sorry. So there's this, you can read it online.
Hope the FCC isn't listening.
The executives are saying, if we can get, change our imagery, we want to align better with society, you know, we should support regulation, and that is one route.
What about the other tobacco companies? Are they also going along with this?
No, and that's a really fascinating thing, because R.J. Reynolds, you know, which is the number two producer in the country, has been fighting this tooth and nail, and there's a big split between Philip Morris and all the other tobacco companies, and the competitors think that what will happen is if this legislation passes, it will freeze the market shares that currently exist. So Philip Morris, as the leader, as the maker of Marlboro, will be frozen in that number one position. So they see this as they call it the Marlboro Monopoly Act, because they think it's going to give Philip Morris just a strong advantage in the marketplace, and it will squeeze them out or hurt them. So they've been fighting it, and the money that's being spent on the lobbying effort on both sides of this is quite extraordinary. In the first 3 months of this year, I think it was about $6 million spent by the tobacco lobby on this bill. So that just gives you a little sense that it's quite intense on Capitol Hill.
My guest is Lindsay Layton of The Washington Post. We're talking about the possibility that tobacco will be regulated by the FDA, and Henry Waxman is the House sponsor of the bill. Ted Kennedy is the Senate sponsor. Obviously, they think they have a good chance because they're fast-tracking this legislation. But what would the bill actually call for?
Well, they're basically the same bill. The House and the Senate version don't differ very much. So it's basically the same legislation, and it would require these tobacco companies to disclose to the FDA all the ingredients that are in their products. I think a lot of people who don't smoke think that a cigarette is just rolled up tobacco leaves and, you know, a filter and some paper. But in fact, there are thousands of chemicals that go into cigarettes. And the FDA would have the authority to restrict or reduce the most dangerous of those chemicals. It can also lower the levels of nicotine. Nicotine is the addictive part of a tobacco product, right? That's the drug. And FDA could lower the levels of nicotine. Can't reduce them to zero, but can lower those levels. And there's also a ton of restrictions on advertising and marketing. The tobacco companies would not be able to use the terms light and low tar and anything else that suggests that one tobacco product is healthier or less of a health risk than the others, unless they could back it up with scientific evidence. So there's a range of they're really broad powers that are given to the FDA under this bill. And
would cigarette ads start to resemble the prescription drug ads that we see in magazines? You can't advertise on television, I know, but they have to list every single potential side effect.
Well, right now, there is a warning label, the Surgeon General's language, that's on a pack of cigarettes.
Doesn't seem to have deterred too many people.
Right. Well, under this bill, they call for for additional warning labels, and the Senate version of this bill would require that 50% of the packaging be warning labels, and the Senate version even calls for graphic pictures of diseased lungs that would be slapped on the outward wrapper. So they're really talking about stepping up the warnings and making it very clear that what you're buying can kill you.
Under the legislation, a tobacco center would be created within the FDA that would be funded by the tobacco industry. That's adding insult to injury, isn't it?
Well, actually, this is that's how the FDA funds the drug portion of its agency. It gets fees from the drug manufacturers, and that's how it pays for the drug portion of the FDA. So it's not all that unusual. Yes, the tobacco companies would have to pay a certain fee based on their market share, and that's what funds that agency.
Do other countries make tobacco subject to the regulation of their health ministries?
You know, that's a really great question, Leonard. And I have to tell you, I don't know the answer to that. I haven't really looked into what other countries are doing.
Because we're hearing an awful lot about the FDA right now having its hands full, and sometimes it doesn't really test drugs as well as we might like. When you add tobacco onto it, who knows just how overwhelmed it's going to be. We're talking about an $89 billion industry in this country.
I don't know
whether FDA regulation would affect profits, but that's a lot of money.
That's an argument that a lot of the opponents have made, that this is an agency which has been struggling just to do it the basic food and drug oversight and has been failing at that, you know, frankly, for years. So that's an argument that's made. And the proponents of this legislation say, well, look, we got that covered. We're going to set up a new center. It's going to be fully funded by the tobacco industry. We're going to hire hundreds of more employees who are going to staff that center, and we're creating something new, and it will have money behind it. So that's what they're saying. We'll have to see.
In 2000, didn't the Supreme Court rule in a 5-4 decision that the FDA could not regulate tobacco as a drug?
Well, that's right. That's what spurred this legislation in the first place.
9 years later.
Right. It's taken that long. The FDA tried to regulate tobacco in the mid-90s under Clinton, and the tobacco company sued, and it ended up in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, you need Congress to give you the authority to do this. So that's what spurred this whole effort to get this legislation passed, and that's where we are today.
Senator Mike Enzi from Wyoming has said that Altria's support of the bill made him wary.
That's right. A lot of Enzi is opposed to that bill. He's the ranking Republican on the Senate committee that's handling this legislation. So he is Kennedy's counterpart, and he is opposed to the bill. He says that the fact that Philip Morris is behind it should raise red flags. And there are some in the public health community who say the same thing, that they don't trust the fact that Philip Morris, anything that's good for Philip Morris can't be good for public health. That's their position on this.
And Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, which is home to R.J. Reynolds, among other tobacco companies, has threatened to filibuster the bill. I suspect he might actually get some support from some Democrats, despite the fact that an estimated 400,000 people die in the United States every year from tobacco-related illnesses.
Well, the other Democratic senator from his state, Kay Hagan, agrees with him. And, you know, of course, they represent North Carolina, a lot of tobacco jobs. And as you say, they represent Philip Morris's main competitor, R.J. Reynolds. But this bill had 60 votes in the Senate the last time it came up, which was last year. And now they've got the supporters and the sponsors say they've got more than the 60 votes they need to defeat any filibuster. And they've got an ex-smoker in the White House, or a struggling ex-smoker, ex-smoker wannabe.
I think he's still smoking.
Who says he would sign the bill. So,
and President Bush, who did not smoke, threatened to kill a similar bill.
That's right.
So where is it now?
Next week, the Senate will take it up. The Senate committee, it's Kennedy's committee. Next Tuesday, it's scheduled to go through the markup, which is, you know, where they talk about whether to amend it at all. That should take a couple of days. And then it's likely to come to the Senate for a full vote sometime in June. That's the expected schedule. It's already passed the House by a comfortable margin. So it's expected to go through the Senate in June, and, you know, it could be signed into law as early as this summer.
Although there are already other alternative bills, reduced risk bills, which we can't get into, but if one doesn't go through, the other will. By the way, we have a link to your article on this on our show page at WNYC.org, the article that Lindsay Layton has written in the Washington Post. And I want to thank you, Lindsay, so much for talking with us today about whether there's a good chance that tobacco will be regulated by the FDA.
Well, thanks for having me, Leonard.